And good morning. Thank you very much. It's a beautiful Saturday. Can't wait to get started. Got a whole bunch of stuff to cover this morning. I started reading articles concerning a natural, if you want to call it a spice or an herb, I think that's okay. It's called turmeric. Sometimes they refer to it as curcumin. It kind of grows in the soil like ginger does, which ginger, oh my goodness, it produces the most beautiful flower and it smells good too. So we're going to talk about turmeric, though. And sometimes for me, it's very challenging because I'm looking at all these different articles about turmeric. And I'm trying to decide, well, which one do the people want to hear about? Which one would be encouraging? Which one would give them some pause to consider, could this benefit me? Is there something that this can do for me to help keep my body in better working order? But before I talk about that, let me say just a couple of points, or make a couple of points. Number one, as the human body ages, or if you want to say the organs or the tissues or the glands or the cells, well, it's all living tissue in the human body, it literally becomes more challenging to keep it in good working order as you age. And so all the metrics that we took for granted when we were 16 or 17 years old, those rules don't work the same when you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. You literally have to try harder. One article that I came across that I thought was just very straightforward but interesting to me, they demonstrated that as a human being ages, that their need for vitamin D actually goes up with age. And so do you know what I'm saying to you? You cannot take the bare minimum amount of vitamin D as a supplement and expect to work the same in your body if you're 80 years old, or if you're 75, or if you're 50. It will take more. But then again, I mean, I think that's true of every nutrient. We don't really absorb the way that we used to when we were young. Could you imagine if you had a 16-year-old boy and you say, hey, we're going to go out to eat hamburgers tonight. Well, maybe he can eat two cheeseburgers, no problem. And then an hour later, he wants something else to eat. Well, that's because his metabolism is so efficient at processing protein that it's just probably converted straight into muscle. Yes, isn't that disappointing to you? It's not converted into fat. It's converted into muscle. So we know for a fact that as a human body ages, it's been studied several times, you don't need less protein as you age, you actually need more. So anyway, this is where I want to touch a base on the idea of curcumin or turmeric, because you know, maybe if you're 15 years old, you don't know what it's like to have stiff, achy joints or a body that's continually in pain. But as you get older, yeah, you just don't have as much blood flow. You don't get that nutrient delivery. It's not like you can deliver as much oxygen and critical elements to your cells and your tissues to rebuild them. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Cartilage itself, when you're 75, cartilage doesn't have a blood supply. It does when you're 16. And so you turn a certain age, I'm just going to say 24, 25, maybe 23 in some people, those arteries that feed and nourish the cartilage that helps keep your joints lubricated, they die. So the only way that you can get nutrients and oxygen to the cartilage itself of the knee joints is to keep moving and to keep them strong. Anyway, I came across this one article that I found interesting. And I have talked in the past about drugs, NSAIDs, and one of them would be ibuprofen. So when I came across this article, all they're doing is they're trying to test how effective is 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen every day for 4 weeks compared to 1,500 milligrams of turmeric. And so I think in this particular study, they had 331 people, all of them over the age of 50, according to what I read. And to be in the study, you had to have osteoarthritis of the knees. And so, you know what that means? Pain, stiffness in the knees, and a whole bunch of stuff that you can't do because of it. Like get on the ground or bend your knees without having tears form in your corner of your eye. Not because of allergies, because of pain. So here's what they did. They gave one group 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. And this is just a four-week study. But to me, it's interesting. I know you can't see the graphs like I can, but I can take a look at them. And I can kind of figure out, okay, what's really taking place here? And so they made sure that they took the ibuprofen or the turmeric with food. Does that make sense? I'm guessing they used 400 milligram ibuprofen tablets. I might need to look that up. I don't think that matters because the total they took over the course of a day for 4 weeks was 1,200 milligrams. So 400 breakfast, 400 lunch, 400 supper. When they took the turmeric, it's probably like a 500 milligram capsule. The thing of it is, all this is easy to do. That's all they're asking them. Take this. Let's see what happens. And this comes from Thailand, so it says the researchers, they made the supplement themselves. And they go through and they tell you exactly how they extracted it and got the active ingredient. Anyway, but I kind of like stuff like that. All right, during the experiment, the researchers used a questionnaire several times to calculate the participants' level of arthritic pain and their suffering and their limited abilities. They called it the Western Ontario and McMaster University's Osteoarthritis Index. They called it WOMAC for short. I think I kind of like that acronym. So basically, the higher you score, the worse condition your knees are in. I don't know if I've told you before, but I remember taking biomechanics class in a college back in the 80s, and I figured out real quick that the knee is absolutely the most complicated joint in all the body. I know you're thinking it's just like a hinge that's on a door. No, it's not. It's quite a bit more complicated than that. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, but this is all they're testing in this study. What does ibuprofen do? Which, I mean, you know ibuprofen works. Isn't that a sad situation when somebody takes a handful of ibuprofen and doesn't do anything to stop the pain? Now, that's bad. So basically, the higher the WOMAC score, the worse the pain was. And so what they did was, this is just 4 weeks now, but I'm looking at the graph. And they're comparing ibuprofen against curcumin, or if you want to say turmeric. Are you with me on that? And so they took turmeric and ibuprofen, and they wanted to find out how much reduction of pain and stiffness in their knee joints is compared to people that took ibuprofen versus turmeric. And I'm telling you what, when I look at this graph, it's absolutely identical. And you know what I'm saying by that. Turmeric, it did not perform better than ibuprofen. But then if I reverse that around, I could also say on the flip side that ibuprofen, it didn't work better than turmeric. And so what you do is you start asking yourself the question, well, what are the side effects of taking ibuprofen? Well, I read a study one day that showed that women that take ibuprofen just 2 times a month, and in the study, it didn't say what they took it for. But you could probably guess. You could probably say, well, would a woman take it if she had a bad headache? Well, yeah. What if she had horrible menstrual cramps and she was double over in pain? Yeah, that would be another application. What if she just felt horrible because she climbed up and down a ladder, putting on Christmas lights or something like that, and her legs were aching and she couldn't sleep? Yeah, that'd be another application. But you get that. But in the study, it showed that if a woman takes ibuprofen just twice a month, the likelihood of her developing high blood pressure goes up through the roof. And you're probably thinking, well, why is that? Because the kidneys, for the most part, they play a huge role in trying to regulate your blood pressure. So anytime somebody has blood pressure problems, well, obviously you have to consider, is this because the kidneys are not in good repair? Or, if you want to say it the different way, is this because the kidneys are so damaged and inflamed they can't do their job to regulate blood pressure? Yeah, either one of them is probably plausible. Well, the point I'm making is ibuprofen is so hard on the kidneys. Very hard. I don't think I've ever heard of a human being rushed to the emergency room because they took a little bit of curcumin or turmeric. Now, ibuprofen? Yeah. Probably some people have had wrecked livers and kidneys in the lining of their gut. So, when it came to pain over 4 weeks, it went down substantially. They felt a lot better. But there was absolutely no difference from taking turmeric or taking ibuprofen. Then they went to the Womack stiffness scale. And you're thinking, Dr. Morgan, I don't really know what the word stiffness means. Well, yes, you do. You know what it's like. Well, maybe not you, but some people that are listening, they know exactly what it's like to have joints that are stiff and achy. And you know, the thing of it is, you cannot function as well as you'd like when your joints are stiff and achy. What if there was a $100 bill laying on the sidewalk and your knees were so painful and stiff that you said, yeah, I'll pass on that. It's not worth it to me to bend over and pick up that. What if it was $1,000? No, I'm just joking. But anyway, they showed that there was a substantial improvement in stiffness, or the stiffness went away when they took the ibuprofen. But it was absolutely, folks, no different than when they took turmeric. Another study that I looked at in doing just a little bit of study on this, I hate to say research, I'm just reading and trying to figure out information. They know that ibuprofen actually causes your cartilage to be destroyed. So you get what I'm saying here? You got knee pain, they're stiff, they hurt, you can't live your life the way that you'd want, so you say, I can't take it anymore, I'm taking some ibuprofen. The problem is, whatever cartilage you have left or remaining is going to be destroyed because of ibuprofen. Yes, it causes what's called degradation of the cartilage. It just breaks apart. That is not a good trade-off. How many people would look back and say, man, was that a bad decision, taking ibuprofen for the last 2 years? Now I'm in worse shape than what I was. Again, this is just a four-week study, but you get where I'm coming from. Turmeric performed every bit as well as the ibuprofen did. Are you with me on that? Yeah. So you ask yourself the question, why would I want to take something that actually speeds up the development of arthritis because it destroys my cartilage? Well, you tell me, why would you want to do that? And so turmeric, again, the dose was 1,500 milligrams a day. I'm guessing they took 500 milligram capsules 3 times a day, and the key is they took them with food. And yes, they did say that some people complained that their tummy was upset with the turmeric. And some people experienced a little bit of a bloated stomach when they took turmeric. But it wasn't really that significant compared to the side effects of people that took the ibuprofen. Yes, I know that if we talked about the price, ibuprofen's going to win. That stuff is mass-produced. You could probably go to the store and buy a pretty big bottle of it for, like, what, $8? Turmeric, no, you're going to pay more than that. But then again, it's going to be a lot more energy and the human being intensive trying to process that. Okay, one last graph here. They use the Womack functioning scale. And in the real world, this is how it works, folks. The whole key to any problem that you have with your health is restoration of function. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you have so much pain in your knees and so much stiffness that you find yourself sitting in a chair all day long. And if somebody says, would you like to come and plant some flowers in the flower bed? You say, no, my knees are too stiff. It hurts too bad. Or if somebody says, do you want to go to Galveston and go fishing on the jetties, which would be my fantasy for today, they would say, no, I can't crawl over those rocks. Are you kidding me? My knees won't do that. Well, do you know what restoring knee function is? That means you're able to get out and walk over the jetties, or walk on the beach, or go to the mall, or go play with your grandkids, or go hiking through the woods, or go shopping, or just normal stuff, doing yard work, getting in your car, driving to church tomorrow morning. But you get the gist of it. So they wanted to find out, what's the function here? And as the function improves, that usually is because inflammation and pain and stiffness decrease. Folks, I'm looking at the chart right here. Over 4 weeks, Pain begins to go away, stiffness goes away, and it greatly improves the function of the knees. That's the key to any situation that you've got. If you have chronic hip pain, we need to look at it from the perspective of, how have you lost function? Is it because you have stiffness of the joint? Is it because you have a muscle that's so weak it's not even firing properly? Which the hip rotators and the pelvic floor probably control most of the knee problems or fix them. Anyway, so they showed that this whole study, I'm going to wrap it up real quick. It shows that taking turmeric was just as good as ibuprofen, but you don't have the side effects. You don't destroy your kidneys. And the ibuprofen is very famous for destroying the cartilage. Yes, I know full well that doctors recommend ibuprofen, Tylenol, Advil, Motrin, aspirin, but there's a side effect to those. Maybe it's as simple as you could bleed out. That's no good. Anyway, so that's study number one. The other one that I took a look at, and I've never seen a study like this before, because usually, just like I just read the study to you, well, at least briefly, I kind of gave you the highlights of it, just my version of it anyway, of people that had horrible knee arthritis. Well, what if we asked a different question? What if we said, what would be the effects of taking a little bit of curcumin on people that are already very healthy, that don't have any issues? They don't have arthritis. They don't have chronic migraine headaches. They don't have cancer, diabetes, rheumatoid. They don't have fibromyalgia. These are people that are healthy. They've got nothing except good health. Well, this is so interesting to me because I'm thinking, have I ever read a study like this? And the answer is no. Okay, I just spoke about curcumin being a root. Looks similar to what ginger would look like when you buy it at the store. Okay, it starts off by saying that curcumin or turmeric has an anti-catabolic effect. What that means is it helps keep your muscles and your body in a good working order where the muscles don't break down prematurely. And to me, that's interesting because if a human being is sedentary, let's just say a person has been sick and they're laying in bed for 3 weeks. Well, you know what your body does? Your body starts breaking down your muscles if you don't use them. Have you ever heard the phrase before? If you don't use it, you lose it. I'm sure that's applicable for the brain, for your eyesight, for your digestive tract and your muscles. It's all of them. Another one of the great effects of turmeric, it actually has been shown to inhibit the conversion of amino acids into glucose. That means if you take it, your body stops breaking down your muscles and converting them into sugar. You don't want that. That would actually lead to the potentially development of insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, that sort of thing. That's just all the stuff that you don't want. You don't want to have massive weight gain. You don't want your cholesterol and triglycerides to shoot through the roof. You don't want your blood sugar shooting up where you have diabetes. Anyway, because that leads to a host of other issues like just severe chronic inflammation. The body's just wrecked. We got to get the body into a state of healing. Also, they're showing that turmeric has been shown to protect men from developing prostate cancer. And see, I find those interesting. What if you had a family history of prostate cancer and you said, my grandfather had prostate cancer, it wrecked him. My dad really struggled with him. He had a lot of procedures. He had a lot of treatments, radiation, just keep going. Proton, pencil beam, radiation therapy. You could just keep going and going. But the thing of it is, what if you could prevent that? What if you could just keep the glands and tissues in good working order? Wouldn't that actually be closer to healing, you think, than just waiting until there's so much disease you're just responding to it? Okay, let me read this study to you. All right, where did it come from? Okay. What they did was they asked the question, what does curcumin or turmeric do to healthy people? And so here's a study right here. The researchers at Ohio State University, they found a study that was done in Thailand in which experimental subjects took a daily dose of 500 milligrams of turmeric a day, or they took 6,000 milligrams a week. I did the math on that. I'm using Randy's calculator here at the radio station. I'm assuming it's well calibrated. Anyway, what they did was they took 500 milligrams of turmeric a day, which to me, that doesn't sound like very much. Or they took 857 milligrams a day. That's not like the previous study for the people with bad knee pain. They took 1,500 milligrams a day. Okay, so what's the first thing they noticed? Okay, that was published in Phytotherapeutic Research 2011, so 13 years old. So they gave him a 500 milligram dose. The first thing they noticed was there was a tremendous increase in the blood when they tried to measure the amount of antioxidants in the blood. And antioxidants protect your body against free radical damage. That's a good thing. Also, they noticed that triglycerides went down and cholesterol levels went down. Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of people that are really interested in that. If you go to the doctor and have a lab test done and it shows your total cholesterol is elevated, and for example, a different marker on a lipid profile is called triglycerides. Well, technically, when your triglycerides are 200 and above, that means you're heading toward the possibility of a stroke. That is not good. That means you've got a whole lot of fat crammed in your arteries and they're bulging at the seams. So it would be nice if you could find a way to help modify that. Okay? Turmeric may be one of the things you might consider. Now remember, these were only healthy people. None of them were sick. Okay, different study. In their study, the Americans tested a supplement containing 400 milligrams and one containing 80 milligrams of curcumin, or if you want to say turmeric. It says the supplement went by the name of Longvita Optimized Curcumin. I think what they did is they used a little bit of soybean lecithin, a little bit of vitamin C to help enhance its absorption. The researchers gave this to 19 subjects, and they were aged 40 to 60 years of age for a period of 4 weeks. So it's not what you call a long study. Doesn't take long. And actually, if you think about your health, would you be pleased if you were in better working order, or if you felt better, or you said, I feel more amazing now than what I did before, even though I didn't have any health problems before, in 4 weeks? Okay. Despite the dose of the turmeric being most modest, the researchers observed statistically significant positive health effects. Okay. And this may not be impressive to you, but I like it. Over 4 weeks, the triglycerides dropped 10%. And you're thinking, that's just 10%. Well, what if your triglycerides were at 150 and it dropped by 10%? That would be 15 points. Well, folks, 135 means less stress is on your body and your arteries than when it's 150, because that's when it starts to get kind of scary. It's actually very, very hard for a person to lose weight when they have high triglycerides. And that's really due to insulin resistance, but your body's telling you, store fat, don't burn fat, just go ahead and get rid of it. But they're showing that turmeric helps your body do a better job of converting fat into energy. That's fat burning. Now, this is the next one right here that really gets me. And I don't mind telling you, this is the whole reason why I wanted to share this information with you this morning, is because of this right here. There is a substance called nitric oxide. A lot of times they just call it NO, like no. But this is a compound. It's a signaling molecule. I'm certain that every cardiologist knows about this molecule inside and out. They studied it for years. Because, and let me give you an example. When somebody has very low levels of nitric oxide, these are the people that suffer horribly from a condition called angina pectoris. What that means is they have severe chest pain because their arteries are in such poor working order, they just can't deliver enough oxygen to the heart. So this could be the person that's walking across the floor and they go, I'm out of breath, I got to stop, my chest is hurting. And they reach in for their purse and they pull out that little bitty brown bottle that's got nitroglycerin in it. So they know if they give you a nitroglycerin tablet, it's going to momentarily increase this compound I'm talking about called nitric oxide. And so it widens your blood vessels. They open up. You can all of a sudden deliver oxygen to the heart, and the person goes, oh my goodness, 30 seconds later, now I can breathe. But you need to remember this right here. Anybody that's got problems with blood pressure, anybody that's got problems with cholesterol, anybody that has a problem with their heart not being healthy or their arteries not being healthy, this actually might be a great conversation for you. So, let me see, where's my chart right here? There it is. Okay, I found it. Okay. I've got a graph, and it's literally, this is amazing. It shows a tremendous increase in the ability of your body to produce nitric oxide. And by the way, I'm not trying to be crude, but there are drugs like Viagra that if a man takes that, all of a sudden he has much better blood flow, momentarily, of course, throughout the body. And so when they took turmeric or curcumin, nitric oxide went up. And so this suggests that curcumin can reduce blood pressure and keep blood vessel walls supple. Oh, is that what the researchers are saying is going on here? They're helping arteries to become younger by becoming more spry and flexible and supple and bendable. That's as opposed to being rigid and stiff and just clogged up full of hard concrete-like plaque, calcifications. They go on to say that nitric oxide is also very interesting for athletes because some studies suggest that more nitric oxide increases stamina and muscle growth too. Well, that's maybe a side note. Now, this is something that I had to look up and read for myself. I think I'm just like you are. I'm very curious, and so I want to read something. I say to myself, I don't know as much about that as I should. Let me read about that. Okay, they measured a different molecule. It's called soluble intercellular adhesion molecule. They call it SCAM for short, scientifically, I guess. Well, you know what soluble intercellular adhesion molecule is? Well, the key word for me there is adhesion. Well, you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like glue. And so they noticed that when the people in the study, all 19 of them that were very healthy, when they took turmeric, all of a sudden, this molecule that causes all the arteries to become stiff and hard, it decreased significantly. Wow. I think I'll take that. So I'm not trying to overpromise anything to you. I'm just trying to give you information so you can make your own decision about what you want to do. So, if you want your arteries to become full of plaque and very stiff, we need to find a way to increase intercellular adhesion molecule. Anything to make your arteries gunked up and hard like glue has dried in them. Is that what you want? Well, of course not. So one tool that you have in your tool chest now is maybe prayerfully considering some turmeric, okay? Here's another one right here. And this one really does blow my mind. There is an enzyme that's called amylase. You can have your doctor measure that on a simple blood test. But what amylase does, it's an enzyme that splits starchy substances like, rice and potatoes and bread, or noodles or pasta, and it breaks them up into what are called glucose molecules. And so what happens is, when they took turmeric or curcumin, all of a sudden amylase goes down. You know what that means in the real world? Your body is not pumping out massive amounts of sugar. I promise you, that's what you want. You do not want there to be a situation where you have so much more sugar flooding your body. But that's interesting. So if you had a meal like a baked potato or if you had a plate of spaghetti, noodles or pasta, wouldn't that be nice to know that you could do something to help yourself not convert all that into sugar? Because all that excess sugar, your body's probably going to convert it into triglycerides. Maybe that's one of the other factors why turmeric helped lower triglycerides. Okay, they also measure antioxidant status. I won't spend too much time on that, but I'm looking at the graph. When they gave them turmeric, antioxidant levels really went up in the blood. So that sounds good to me. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, I think, they measured beta amyloid protein. And so they're suggesting that maybe if somebody is prone toward Alzheimer's, dementia, cognitive decline, that maybe turmeric is one of those things they might want to consider taking a look at. All right, I have another study left, but I just realized, I look at the clock, I've already been talking for 31 minutes. If you want to join me on the radio, please do so right now. The phone line is open, 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Doc.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm old, but I'm not bad.
Okay, well, that's one way to interpret something.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your turmeric session this morning. But what I'd like to know is, can I just consume ginger root?
Well, that's a different substance, but the answer is yes.
And get the same results.
What I'm going to say is, everything that God has created in nature is unique. It has its own unique benefits and properties. I don't know the answer to that. I know this: ginger is very, very good for people that have horrible arthritis. So you can always put it to the test. But I don't know if ginger will increase nitric oxide levels to lower blood pressure and to improve blood flow and to get more oxygen to the brain. That I don't know. But I'm all for you taking ginger, though.
What's the difference between ingesting ginger root and taking these turmeric capsules?
Well, number one, turmeric is not ginger. I don't know if I've been clear about that. Ginger is its own unique substance, just like a white potato is not a sweet potato.
Right, yeah.
So they all have their own unique properties. So if you ask me the difference, I would say ginger has some amazing qualities to it. But today what I was doing is I was just focusing on the research of taking turmeric. So I'm not really sure what you're after by saying what's the difference.
Well, I can get turmeric powder at the health food store.
Exactly, you can.
Is that the same as taking a capsule?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It just, whatever delivery system, some people use turmeric powder and they make a substance called golden milk, and they drink that as their tonic elixir to help their health. So even if you were to go to any number of websites, you could type in, what are all the different ways that I can take turmeric? And you can type that in, and they can show you all the ways, whether you add it to your food, or you take it in a liquid form, or you take golden milk and drink that, or if you make a salad dressing out of it, or you put it in a capsule or a tablet. There's just a lot of different delivery systems for getting it in your body, but the key is getting it in the body where it can do its job.
Right. All right, well, I appreciate you, and I'm going to give this a try, and if I got any more questions, I'll call back next week.
All right, thank you much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open at 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, can you tell me what would help with bronchitis?
Who are we talking about? Is this a little child, or is it like a 99-year-old human being?
It's for my daughter. That's 29.
Well, tell me what the bronchitis looks like. Is this like a chronic recurrent issue?
No, this is the first time she's had it, but she has this deep, horrible cough that she can't get rid of.
Okay.
And
how long she had it for?
Probably about a month.
Okay.
And she's already been on a steroid. She's already had the inhaler. She's already had the little cough tablets. Nothing. None of that's helped. Which, you know.
I have a supplement that I use at the office called Bronchofact. But, and I'm going to oversimplify this, it has herbs that actually, they're diaphoretics, but they heat up the bronchial tubes. Don't ask me how it works. But I've seen sometimes one day the bronchitis just clear up and all of a sudden go away, which really that's what we're after here. We're trying to remove any obstacles to healing. So let me just kind of go down the list in my mind. I would say number one, when it comes to the bronchial tree, boy, it's like 97% pure water. Is your daughter well hydrated? Is she drinking plenty of water or herbal teas or things like that?
Probably not, no.
So if she improves her hydration, that should give her a tactical advantage. Now, here's the next thing I'm going to say. I am a firm believer in lemon juice. Lemon juice, in my mind, is one of the greatest solvents on the planet. And when you're trying to break up mucus and phlegm and gunk, a little bit of fresh lemon juice. I also like apple cider vinegar, the kind that when you look at the label, it says with the mother, and you go, what is that dirty, gunky sawdust at the bottom of the bottle? Well, that's the mother. That's the culture. So those are solvents that help dissolve and break up mucus. Now, if it were me, one thing that she could do right now, there is a particular unique amino acid supplement called, they call it NAC for short, N-A-C, but it's really N-acetylcysteine, like the capital letter N, N-acetylcysteine. And when you take that, the body uses, now there's two or three ways you could do it. You could take it with food, but I really think it works best if it's taken on an empty stomach, but you still get benefit if you want to take it with food. So you have a couple options. But N-acetylcysteine is so good at helping to dissolve and break up all that gunky phlegm and mucus and stuff that's keeping the bronchial tree irritated.
Okay.
Another thing that she could do is she could use what's called mullein tea.
I've never heard of that. Okay.
I think it's spelled M-U-L-L-E-I-N, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I pronounced it mullein, but maybe it's mullein. You know, and you know what? That's one plant that I'm very familiar with what it looks like, and usually it grows along where they have barbed wire fences. It has these big, broad, soft leaves on the bottom of it, and I'm not trying to make a joke, but I was telling my buddy yesterday, we were going through the pasture looking for blackberries last night, and he had his mom in the front seat. She wanted to go see him, which I thought was cool. And I said, you see that plant over there? I said, I think that's mullein. And it hadn't grown the seed pod yet, but those leaves were so big and soft and velvety. He said, what's it used for? And I said, well, it used to be used for toilet paper. You know, 200 years ago, if you're on the prairie and you come across mullein, like, okay, we can go to the bathroom here. Now we have toilet paper. But they would use that to clean themselves with. Okay, I hope that wasn't too much. But anyway, but historically, mullein is what... It's the very first plant that grows after there's been a massive forest fire. And so what I'm going to suggest strongly is the earth, that is the lungs of the earth. The lungs. And so we have plants. What do? We give them carbon dioxide, and they in turn give us oxygen. So mullein is the healer of the lungs.
Okay.
So that would be easy. The other thing is there's so many foods... the processed foods, I should say, that if you eat them, you're asking for bronchitis not to go away. And I'm going to say sugar is a huge mucus-forming food, usually sugar and dairy. So I know you were thinking about buying some orange sherbet today for your daughter, but it may not be the best choice.
So that mullein tea, we can get at the health food store?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can go to the health food store right now. You can get some mullein tea, and she could drink several cups a day. And actually, the other thing that I would, if this were, let me just tell you what I would do if it were me, okay? I would rub regular castor oil. Let me start over here. I might actually take a little bit of apple cider vinegar and a washcloth and just rub the outside of my chest with it over the breastbone.
Oh, okay.
And just let it evaporate. I know it's vinegar. You're probably going to have honeybees and flies attracted to you the rest of the day if you do that. But, you know, that's the price you pay to be healthy, right? So I would rub castor oil several times a day over the breastbone. Because what you're doing is you're rubbing it directly over where the bronchial tree is. But that's what I would do. Because anytime that you apply castor oil to an area, your lymphatic system, which is what has to scrub all this clean, is going to increase that area. That's really an advantage for your daughter. But if she has some, you know, time to spend where she could lay down, I think that I would rub castor oil, then I would apply a heating pad, you know, one of those kind that you just plug in. And I would use heating pack therapy right over the lungs. And so that would be one of the things I would do. And the other thing that I started to say a while ago, I'm a firm believer, if you can't get the lungs or throat well, you should probably take half water, half apple cider vinegar, and gargle it twice a day. I'm sure you want me to imitate gargling. Gargle, gargle. Anyway, you know what gargling is. And if you do that, just make sure you spit the stuff out. Afterwards, but just do it for 30 seconds. And I think if she did this, I mean, you could just serve her a fresh cup of bone broth, right? What girl doesn't want that from her mother? I mean, nothing says I love you quite like apple cider vinegar gargling, right? The other thing that she might could do is she could kind of make, to help her lungs heal, she could make like a hot toddy of warm water with a spoonful of raw honey and a spoonful of apple cider vinegar. And just sip on that to see if that helps that to break up and to clear. Do you remember, have you ever driven down the highway and seen a sign that says tuberculosis sanitarium this way? Okay, well, I have. But anyway, the reason that I would notice that is because when I was a young child back in the early 60s, my mother would tell me stories about relatives in California that had to go and spend time in quarantine at the tuberculosis sanitarium. So that's the way they used to do it. You know, could you imagine if we had such a wicked, evil disease break out in America where they actually had hospital facilities where they would send people to because they had to get them away from the general population? There's just no other way. The one, and my whole point is this right here. The ones that had to go to the sanitarium that actually sunbathed their chest every day, they were by far and away the ones that were released the soonest, and they could return home and be pronounced cured or healed. So I'm not telling your daughter to sunbathe her chest and burn it, but I'm suggesting it wouldn't hurt to put about 20 minutes of sunlight on the back and 20 minutes of sunlight on the front, if she could do that, if she had a safe place to do that. So those are some of the things that I would look at.
I appreciate that. That was very helpful.
You're welcome. I hope she makes a quick recovery.
Yes, me too. You have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great mom calling for her little daughter, her little baby girl. All right, the phone is officially open again. It's 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have two questions, and you pick whichever one you have time for. I have trouble swallowing capsules, and they get hung in my throat and sometimes further down, you know, in my throat. And then I also have trouble with maybe a hernia.
You're not going to believe it, but that's what I wrote down before you said that.
So whatever you can tell me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, well, let me just try to make it sound kind of simple. The very first thing that I wrote down as you're talking, because I'm just kind of thinking it through myself, you probably have a hiatal hernia. And what that means is your stomach is bulging up above the diaphragm, and so it's so easy for something like a capsule to get hung up and not go down into the stomach. I know this is going to sound weird the way I'm going to say it, but let me have a go at it. If you had a glass of water and you said, I'm going to drink this water, but I'm going to see how long it takes to get to my stomach. Well, when you drink a glass of water, I think it takes technically with each swallow about 1 to 2 seconds before the water's in your stomach. And to me, that makes sense. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
But if it's something that's solid, like a capsule, or maybe you have a fork full of chicken salad, when you swallow that, that's more like 8 to 10 seconds before it actually gets in the stomach. So you require these muscular wave-like peristaltic contractions that grabs the food and or the capsule and kind of works them down on the conveyor belt before they get to the stomach. I didn't say that your esophagus is a conveyor belt, but it, you know what I mean.
Yes.
When you swallow a capsule, you want it to be transported to the stomach, but that takes about 10. I think I read one study where they tested people, and some people it took 11 or 12 seconds, but I think the average is 8 to 10. And so what this has to do with, if you have a hiatal hernia, that means your stomach has too much upward pressure. But if I could give you just gentle, loving, precise encouragement, this means you need to improve your muscle tone.
Okay.
You know how your husband is always asking you to go for long, romantic walks with him on the golf course?
Yeah, right.
What do you mean? Yeah, right. I didn't read your mind. Anyway, so I always think that the most important exercises for this are going to be abdominal or hip mobility exercises. So if you were to go to YouTube and type in hip mobility, they would show you a lot of things that would really improve this. Or you could just try the simple old technique, which is where you take your thumbs and you kind of push in at the top of your stomach where the end of the breastbone is and push down. You're just trying to push your stomach back down into place. Or the other option is, if you can tolerate yogurt, you could actually just swallow some yogurt on top of the capsules or a spoonful of applesauce, and that should carry the capsules right on down where they don't get hung up.
I've been trying that, and that does help a little bit. And I also try to drink milk, but then I heard milk wasn't good for it. I don't know.
Well, do you by chance eat a lot of peppermints?
No.
Okay. Do you drink a lot of coffee?
No.
Do you drink a lot of soda waters?
No.
Do you only say no?
No.
I knew you would do that. Okay, so this really means you need to...
I do eat spicy food, though, so I found out I shouldn't do that.
You know, one thing that you could try that would be so simple to see if it works, and just give it a few days, it doesn't take long. If you took 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar and you dilute it in water or herbal tea or something like that, if you would drink that 20 minutes before every meal, see if this whole problem just goes away.
Oh, okay.
Because the vinegar could kind of reset the tone to that cardiac sphincter of the esophagus. It could actually help you digest your food better. So that's really the easiest thing you could do.
Okay.
You got nothing to lose.
No, if I can get that apple cider vinegar down.
Remember, you can't say no.
Would tablets work? Apple cider vinegar tablets?
Yes, if you wanted to get those gel caps that have apple cider vinegar. And I've even seen what's called apple cider vinegar gummy bears at the store. Well, they're not shaped like bears, but they're kind of round like gummy bears. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you could try that. And just see if you do that about 20 minutes or even 10 minutes before a meal, see if that makes a significant difference.
Okay. If it doesn't hang in my throat.
Well, if you get the ones that are gummy bears, they probably won't get hung in your throat.
No, I was talking about the tablet.
No, I knew that. You know what? In all fairness, though, that's one miserable feeling, having supplements or capsules caught in your throat. That's horrible.
It is. I've had to, throw up because of it before, because I couldn't get it down.
Now, is your husband forcing you to do large handfuls of supplements to see what would happen to you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, I mean, I have to ask questions like this, don't I?
Yeah.
So, do you like to go for walks every day?
I do, but I have hip problems, and so I use a QB. And when I don't do that, I just stretch around. I know I should walk. I will try to do more.
Well, I'll take the stretching, and I'll take the QB.
Okay.
Maybe your husband should go. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'll try that.
Good. Well, let me know what happens. And look for some creative way to get the... If you get the apple cider vinegar in the liquid form, it'll go down like water.
Okay.
So I don't think that'll get hung up in your throat. But if it was a capsule, yeah, there's always a chance, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm rooting for you. You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye, ma'am. All right, there's a phone line once again open. There's about 9 minutes, give or take, left in the program at 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. We didn't get any rain yesterday. I wish we had. But
we did not either. You know, it sprinkled on me coming to the radio station this morning.
Yeah.
Through Mount Selman. You know where Mount Selman is, don't you?
Kind of, yes.
It's a real mountain. I'm sorry.
Is it really?
No.
Okay. Well,
it's maybe a little bit higher than the hill below it. How about that?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get some more rain tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I think we are. Mm-hmm.
Because I think our county's in a burn ban right now. But
which county is that?
Henderson County.
Henderson. Well, I hope that God answers your prayers and gives you a nice rain tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, he answered our prayers when our pastor's wife was in the hospital 2.5, almost 3 weeks.
Her oh, dear.
Kidneys, this is the simple question I had to call you up about is about calcium, because I heard, I don't know, a long time ago, or read, or I don't know if it was on your program or what, microcrystalline calcium, hydroxyapatite.
That's it. That's what you want to use when you have a broken bone.
Was a very absorbable form of calcium. And then I read something just recently that said, oh, no, that's not a very good form. You need calcium citrate. And I thought,
Let me guess. That was written by the manufacturer of calcium citrate.
Must have been. Okay.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm not taking a lot of it. I just take a little calcium. I try to get most of it through the greens that I grow. And anyway.
Well, what are you wanting to accomplish by taking the calcium?
Well, just keep my muscles from cramping and keep my gums from receding from because so the bones won't, you know, shrink.
I really think that magnesium is more important than calcium under those circumstances.
Yes. Right, I take magnesium also.
I think you're smart. That's very good.
It is, but well, anyway, if there's a, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't. Maybe I'm not. Don't want to waste your time. But our pastor's wife had. Her kidneys got stopped up with blood clots, and she had HUS, and they deemed it to be autoimmune. And anyway, oh, this is a good question that, well, if you have cats, what do you know about the Bartonella bacteria in cats that causes cat scratch fever?
That's one of the reasons why you keep a cat two counties away.
I had a note about another cat that we had to put down 14 years ago. I've always kept that note handy, and it was, you know, and you couldn't look up everything online 14 years ago, but I'd looked it up this time because I know she had taken in a cat and found a good home for it. But I don't know, you know, if she got scratched or anything, but I just started reading, and there are doctors have written books about Bartonella bacteria.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, absolutely.
And that it's...
It is a wicked, wicked bacteria. If it sets up shop in your body, you're going to have health problems.
Possible health hazard, public health hazard, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, I'm glad that you're bringing it up.
And there are feral cats everywhere. I'm just shocked. And I tried to find a public health official in our county to call and ask about this, what is being done, because you can't detect the test. since the bacteria hides in the red blood cells.
Yep.
I just...
Well, it's definitely, it's more challenging, but yeah, whether it comes different forms of Lyme disease, Bartonella, you do not want those setting up shop in the body. And that's one of the reasons why I talk about things that make the body stronger, because when your body has a crisis and you're being tested, you want your immune system to rise to the occasion and eat the Bartonella and not let it set up shop in your red blood cells.
Well, we almost lost our pastor's wife because she got toxic and she didn't recognize her husband, and she got confusion. But thank God the doctor said, well, they filtered her plasma, then they gave her dialysis, and they saved her, but her kidneys are starting to work now. But I tell you, we were all praying so hard. It just
was this all from Bartonella?
I don't know. I do not, and I don't know if they know, and I don't know if there's any
chance that she had some type of a vaccine before she had these clots in her kidneys?
Well, it was. I don't know if it was right away. I don't know. I haven't asked her, but,
but
I know she had the shots, the COVID shots.
Oh, she did?
Some time ago. I mean, you know.
Well, I would still have a very challenging time overlooking that fact. To me, that's of primary importance.
Me too.
So let me give you an idea here. And this, I know this is, this may not be exactly what you wanted to hear, but do you know what proteolytic enzymes are?
They break down proteins.
Yeah, exactly. Good answer. There's an idea. And so have you ever heard of the spike protein from getting the COVID vaccine? Okay.
Absolutely.
There was a study where they found a way to get rid of it and to undo the damage from the vaccine on one level, and they used, you know what pineapples are. They have a protein-digesting enzyme called bromelain. If you ask me, if you stopped on the side of the road by the beach and picked up some fresh pineapple, that would be the greatest dessert of all time. It's an amazing fruit. But anyway, in this study, I think they used N-acetylcysteine and bromelain from pineapples, but I can't remember the exact dose. But they were able to undo all the damage in the spike proteins. And I thought, that's amazing.
God.
But ever since then, I always think, I don't care if they don't have research about it. What I want to do is I want to help people get well. So I really like the idea of taking significant proteolytic enzymes on an empty stomach when a person has some issue that can't be figured out. And the other thing is, I don't even like your story at all. I don't. And you know why I don't like it? Because you're still searching to find out the reason why. And I'm saying, who cares? Why don't we do what's best?
They called it autoimmune.
I know. Well, how convenient for them.
Well, yeah, they said if it's not this, we don't know what it is.
I know, but that's what I don't like about the story, because I still think we've got to come up with a strategy that targets how do we get the woman well and restore her back to good working order. So we may have to clean up the body, and that's one thing that proteolytic enzymes could do if she took them on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of wordy in saying all that, but still, it's more important than, instead of naming the disease process, that we start going after where the weaknesses are. So with her kidneys, I think we should take that pretty doggone seriously. I really do. She's got one chance to heal. We might as well do it.
Yeah, I will mention this, and her kidneys are starting to work, but they are giving.
Yeah, but she's not right. She's not right now, is she?
Not completely. Not completely.
Do you mind if I ask how old she is, just in general?
She's 64.
Okay. Was she in good health before this? I'm sorry, that's kind of a loaded question. Don't answer that.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, as far as I know, she was up, you know, taking care of grandchildren and teaching Sunday school, or teaching children, you know, at church, and cooking. And
okay.
Just, you know,
well, that speaks a volume right there. Well, anyway, these are things that I would think of, but you've got to get the body back in good repair. And part of that is healing the kidneys and getting the immune system back to good and trying to undo all the damage from whatever they put inside of her.
Well, I tell her don't handle any cat litter, and if she touches any cat,
oh, my goodness, no, never have a cat in the house, no cat litter. That's just nuts. But, yeah, you can get all that stuff just from their feces. Because when you change the kitty litter, what are you doing? You're breathing all the bacteria in, and the parasites and everything else. Just floating in the air.
They tell pregnant women not to handle any cat litter. But
yep.
I remember what my parents used to say, maybe just not too long after they discovered this bacteria. You know, scientists said, you touch the cat, wash your hands. You touch the cat, wash your hands.
You're right. Well, we're all out of time, but thank you so much for your phone call, ma'am.
Well, thank you for addressing that.
You're welcome.
More serious problem. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.